And is there any indication that the Tlaxcaltecas also brought their tradition or their with the land? Is that
Well,
clear?
undoubtedly, I think the corn, the way the milpa, the milpa is a concept from Mesoamerica, because the people that the colonizers that came with Don Juan de Oñate, not only did they bring seeds that had acclimatized themselves in the southern part of Spain in Andalusia that were from Northern Africa and the Middle East and other parts, even from the Orient, but they also brought seeds that were not familiar to the Tewas here, such as chili, different kinds of corn that had originated in northern Chihuahua, because Oñate spent 2 years there in Santa Barbara and Valle Allende in what today is the southern part of Chihuahua. And from there, they also got some seeds that they brought over, because, like I mentioned, chili was never part of the diet of the Pueblo Indians. Mm-hmm. It was brought from the south by these people that came up the Camino Real, and they also brought in. They were not familiar with the orchards. They brought in plums, peaches, apricots, quince, and later on they also came the apples. Plus, they brought a lot of different herbs and spices that were not familiar to this area. They also brought tools. Some I think that maybe changed the ecology of the area, such as the iron axe, because it made it easier for people to cut trees down. And before, the native Tewas would only harvest the down and dead trees. But with the axe, it changed the whole ecology of the area also. And they also brought a lot of the domestic animals that were not familiar here, the sheep, the goats, the cows, the oxen, the horses, the mules. Those were all things that forever also altered the landscape. But they also brought garden seeds, and they introduced a type of gardening that we called as the huerta, and they introduced cabbage, lettuce, radishes, artichokes. They brought in lentils, the fava beans. A lot of the things that we take for granted today in New Mexico, and some people refer to them as native crops. Well, they were not native then. They came with the settlers, the same as the asparagus. The asparagus, though they grow wild now, and we tend to think that they're native to the Americas, well, they were first introduced into the Iberian Peninsula around 1830 by a Kurdish poet known Ziryab, who came from Baghdad to the court in Cordoba. He was a musician and a poet, and this man single-handedly probably changed the way we look at food and the way we eat food, because people at that time were used to that the food was just piled in the middle of the table and each people would grab from there and eat. When Ziryab came to Cordoba, he's the one that introduced the way we still eat today, that first you eat your salad or your soup and then your main plate and then your dessert. And he introduced crystal also, and in fact he introduced toothpaste and a lot of things that we think came from Northern Europe or from the French. They first came into Spain from the Middle East. I think that's why Saddam Hussein told George Bush, when your people were still living in caves, my people had already invented algebra and were doing astronomy and a lot of other things, because that part of the developed world at that time, what was Mesopotamia, was very advanced compared to when Europe was in the Dark Ages, And Spain was more in tune with what was happening in Baghdad and in the Middle East than across the Pyrenees, because of the influx of the Arabs, you know. And it was the Arabs who introduced all these crops and foods, you know, the pomegranate, the apricot. The word albarcoque is an Arab word, you know, the same as acequia, or the word we use here for well, noria. So about one third of the words that we use from the Spanish came from the Arabs. And I don't think that the Muslims have really been given much credit for what developed in New Mexico and in Mexico in terms of agriculture. So what we have here in New Mexico, and that's what I tried to do in the introduction, writing the introduction to the book, is that here we have what I called an agricultura mixta tradicional mestiza. It's mixta, or mixed, because it's a mixture of animals and plants and orchards. It's traditional because that's the way it's been done for, like, the acequias, thousands of years, you know. And it's mestiza because we also have a mixture of crops from the Americas. That our cuisine here in northern New Mexico is a mixture. You know, we would never consider having a New Mexican plate without chili or without corn. But also, I think the five major crops from the Americas that are used throughout North and South America are corn, chili, beans, tomatoes, and the aguacate, that the name was changed to avocado, I don't know, probably for marketing reasons. But those five crops, and then from the Mediterranean, well, we have the grape, we have the wheat, and we have the olive oil. So that also kind of mixed, and that has become part of the mixture that we have here. But like I said, from the Middle East, you know, we got the orchard fruits that we take for granted now. You know, we also have the watermelon, the cantaloupe, the almonds, the pistachios, the pomegranates, I think I had mentioned, you know. And so when Oñate and his crew arrived here, they already found that the Tehuas already had, you know, watermelons and cantaloupes. Well, the reason was that the Tehuas here didn't have any sweets. So I'm sure that they were probably trading with other tribes in northern Chihuahua, or maybe even further south, and they got the seeds for the sweet fruits, the same as with the honey, you know. And they had already been growing it here maybe for 10 years by the time Oñate and the pobladores that came with him came into the Española Valley. And for a long time, people thought that the watermelons, you know, and melons were also native to the area, but they're not. They're from the Orient, from India, and from Asia. The same as most of the fruit crops, the orchard crops that we have here today, you know. So here we have this mixture from all over the world. In our cuisine, it's the same thing, you know. In any fiesta we have, you're going to have like arroz con leche, which is a Middle Eastern dish, you know, very prevalent throughout the Andalusian region in Spain. We also have the capirotada, which also you'll find in Spain, and you'll find in the Middle East, you know. The sopaipillas that we take for granted, that we think that they're New Mexican, well, they originated from the paipilla bread in the Middle East, the buñuelos. So I think here what we have in New Mexico is really a mixture of global foods and global cuisines, you know, that we take for granted, and we just, a lot of people call them Spanish foods, but you can't call Spanish food any dish that has chili or corn, because they're from here. But some restaurants, even in the Española Valley, you'll find like the Rio Grande Cafe where they advertise Spanish food. Well, that's not so, you know. And also, it's not completely Native American because of all this mixture. You know, even the Navajos that call their Navajos too as a traditional, well, without the sheep, without the onions, without the lettuce, without the carrots, there would be no Navajos too. So, you know, I think we have to really be more clear as to or more aware of the history that we have in northern New Mexico instead of simply calling it Spanish and Indian. You know, there's all these mixtures. It's like a braid, you know. Our cuisine, I think, is made from Iberian. That's where we get the meat. Then a lot of the spices came from medieval times. Then we have the Arab influence, but then we also have the Mesoamerican influence, and also to a certain extent the Pueblo influence. So it's a mixture of a lot of different cultures and that have evolved over not hundreds but thousands of years, you know, that we have in northern New Mexico. And that's what also makes part of our agriculture, the acequias, you know, the acequias, like I mentioned, you know, the Moors, they used some of the infrastructure that had been left in Spain by the Romans, and they just built on it. But instead, where the Romans were using the, like the aqueducts and everything to supply water to the urban centers, the Arabs used the same infrastructure to create more agricultural land and to grow a lot of other crops and to acclimatize a lot of crops that were not familiar to that to the Mediterranean. Because before the arrival of the Arabs, most of the, well, the three main crops there, like I mentioned, in the Iberian Peninsula were the grapes, the olives, and the wheat. But then with the influx of the Arabs, they introduced all these other crops and all the different dishes that came with them. And all those, or the majority of them, made their way up to New Mexico over a period of time.